Today's shiur is Masechta Nida Daf Nun Aleph. We'll begin on Daf Nun Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom, Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So in our previous shiur, towards the end of the shiur, we had a machloikus of the Tanakhama Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, a very fundamental machloikus. Nevelas Iftar is one of the tumas that the Torah discusses. As we've learned and will learn, it's a very significant tumah that, and a very unique tumah. It's a tumah that Mitama Beis Abliya. Somebody who swallows a piece of that Nevelas Iftar, he and even the clothing that he wears become tamei. But Nevelas Iftar is a piece of food. It's a Iftar. It's Nevelas Iftar. And as we've learned, and we'll learn in today's shiur, food has a concept of Tumas Eichlin. Food that's tamei has halachas that it's metame. Typically, it's not metame adam v'kelim. It's only metame ba'oichlim, but it does transmit tuma. And at the end of the shiur yesterday, we had a debate between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Tanakama. If we have this nevelas oif tahar, does an intention to eat it? Is there a requirement for an intention to eat it? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that there is no such need. It automatically is subject to Tumas Eichlin. And the Chachamim held, the Tanakhama held, there's a need for machshava, for an intention to eat it. And there was a debate, a dialogue, between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rabbanan, and that's where the Gemara begins. On Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri made the following argument, why an intention for eating by an Nevelas Iftar should not be necessary. Because he said, Kavachaymer, we can make the following Kavachaymer. If it has this high level of tumah that we just described, and nevelas oiftar, that it has this tumas nevela, doesn't need to have a machshava. As soon as it's nevelas oiftar, it has those rules. So tumas oichlin, which is a lower level tumah, should certainly apply to it even without an intention to eat it. Amrloi, to which the Tanakhama responds, the Chacham responds to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, loy, your argument is wrong. Imamata betumachamura shekein ena yeredes lakach. And as we said yesterday, we need to understand what do the Rabbanim mean with these words, my ena yeredes lakach. Amrava, so Rava says, hachik amrloi. This is what the Rabbanim are telling Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Loy, imamata betumachamura shekein ena oisuki yaitzaba. The halacha is that if somebody eats a nevelas oif tahar, and he indeed becomes tamei, the halacha is he now is a rishon and he touches something, so the halacha is that he's an avatama, but what he touches doesn't become tamei, only a avatama has the ability to give off tamei. This person, by eating the nevela, which is an avatoma, becomes a rishon latoma, and a rishon latoma can't be metama adam v'kelim. That's one pshat. Another pshat is, let's say, the other rishonim suggest, let's say somebody's eating the nevelas oif tahar. So, of course, the halach, as we keep on repeating, is that he and whatever he wears becomes tamei, and whatever he's touching at that time becomes tamei. Yet the halach is, if he would be touching another person, that person would become tamei. So we see that his ability to transmit tumah is limited. Tamei b'tumah kala, where tumah kala shoyse kiyotzba. What does that mean? Oichel has the ability to imitama another oichel, which means a person doesn't have the ability, but oichel has the ability to transmit tumah to the same degree to another oichel. So Rashi adds one word, the top Rashi, the Amid, and that din, that an oichel can be matam another oichel, is midrabbanan. So all the mefarshim have a very hard time understanding Rashi. If that din, that an oichel is matam oichel, is only a din, the rabbanan, so how could I use it to prove a kalchoimer for the raisa, that machshav is not required by the nevel for tumas oichel? So some mefarshim take a very interesting approach, and they suggest that from here we see that we could use a concept which is only Drabonon to create a Kavachoymer for a Din D'Raisa. Very bechidish. Darach Ner, however, dissatisfied with that, says that the Gemara does say, I think it's Gemara Masechta Chulin, that by Kachim, Oichel has the ability to be Metama Oichel Medaraisa. So therefore, the Gemara works even Medaraisa. By Nevela, by Tumas Nevela, we don't have that ability. By Tumas Oichel, we do. So, says Abaya, so you, what you just said is just the opposite of what we want to accomplish. We want to say that Tumas Nevela is more of a Tumah than the Rabbanim want to say. That Tumas Nevela is more of a Tumah than Tumas Eichlin. And if, and therefore, even though for Tumas Nevela, intention is not required, for Tumas Eichlin, intention is required. So what's the Raya you're bringing? That Tumas Eichlin has a Chumrah, that Tumas Nevela doesn't. If that's the case, then Tumas Eichlin certainly should have the same halacha as Tumas Nevela. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is certainly right that intention is not required. Amar Abaya, Abaya says your reasoning is all flawed. Kol d'kein hu, umatam chamura, the kila, that it has this leniency. Dein oisuk yotzba, as we just said, that that person can't be matam another person if he ate Tumas Nevela. Umat Tumah chamur dekila, the ain oisuk kiyotzba. Yet the halacha is matam shloim b'machshava. You could have Tumas Nevela without a machshava. Tumah kala dechamira. So when we speak about the Tumah kala, the Tumas Eichlin that has this quality, the oisuk kiyotzba, because a food can be matam another food, whether midrabbanan or midaraisa, ain adin should matam shloim b'machshava. So certainly there should be no machshava required. So now we need to go back to try to understand how the Rabbanan dispute Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. El Amar Rav Sheshes, Hachi Kamar. This is what they said. Loi Amar B'Tumah Chamura Shekein Ein Tzricha Hechsher. We've learned many times, Baruch Hashem, that Tumas Eichlin, and the Gemara is going to quote the Pasuk in today's Shir, to be susceptible to Tumas Eichlin, you need that it should get wet with one of the mashkin, with Yad Shach Adam. There is no such a halacha by Tumas Nevela. So his argument is as follows. And yet it's subject to Tumas Nevela. And therefore, the Rabbanan is saying to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Tumas Nevela, that doesn't require Hechsher, doesn't require Machshavah either. Tumas Eichlin, that requires Hechsher, will also require Machshavah. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Umit Tzricha Hechsher? Is that true that Hechsher is required by a Nevela to get Tumas Eichlin? For Tanan, the Mishnah says, actually, our Gemara has the Girsa of Shalosh Dvarim. We had the exact same Mishnah quoted on the top of Nun Amabez, and there it said Yud Gimel. So if you look on the side of the Gemara, it says, it has to say Shalosh Asar here too. Shloisha Asar Dvarim Nemar B'Nevelas Oiftar. The Mishnah there lists all the halachas of Nevelas Oiftar. And one halacha is Tzricha Machshava. It needs Machshava. Ve'en Metama Abay Sablia. Ve'en Tzricha Hechsher. So here you see that doesn't require Hechsher. So what's the Gemara saying? That Tumas Nevela doesn't require Hechsher. And Tumas Eichlin does require Hechsher. And that's why they're rules regarding intention to each should be different. Doesn't the Mishnah say that it doesn't need Hechsher? Answers the Gemara, when we speak about Hechsher in that Mishnah, there are two definitions of the word Hechsher. The classical definition of Hechsher is, as we always explain it, means Hechshamayim, that it came in contact with liquid in order to become susceptible to Tumah. But there's another definition of Hechsher. Hechsher Sheretz. What does Hechsher Sheretz mean? Let's say you have a food. A regular food. And it became moist. It became susceptible to tumah. That doesn't make a tummy. After you have the food, and after it became moist, now it has to touch a sheretz in order for it to be tummy. But when we speak about the nevela, it doesn't have to touch a sheretz to become tummy. It's inherently tummy. It's a nevela. So says the Gemara, you know what the Mishnah over there means? It doesn't mean that it doesn't have to have hechshamayim. Ner the hechsher sheretz loboy. It's inherently tumah, and therefore doesn't have to come in contact with a sheretz to become tummy. But hechsher mayim boy. So the Gemara is arguing that the Rabbanan's argument is still good. That for Eichlin it needs hechsher, for Tumas Eichlin it needs hechsher, For Tumas Nevela, doesn't need Hechsher, and that's why the halachas are different. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Maishna Hechsher Sheretz Leibayi. Why are you ready to agree, as the Mishnah says explicitly, that there's no need for Nevela to come into contact with Sheretz to be considered Tameh? For the reason, the Ketanei Bei Rabbi Shmuel. The Rabbi Shmuel, we're going to learn the Brisa of Rabbi Shmuel in a moment. If we're going to follow what Rabbi Shmuel taught us in that Brisa, then Hechsher Nami Leibayi, then it doesn't need Hechsher Mayim either. And if it doesn't need Hechsher Mayim, your entire argument collapses, that you're saying for Tumas Eichlin it needs Hechsher Mayim, doesn't, and therefore it should also need Machshavah, it doesn't need Hechsher Mayim. Why? Because what did Rabbi Shmuel taught us? The Tanna Bei Rabbi Shmuel. The Tanna Bei Rabbi Shmuel, this is the Pasuk that teaches us the Halacha of Hechsher Mayim, that teaches us the halacha that in order for food to be susceptible to Tumas Eichlin, it has to have been come into contact in liquid. And it says in the Pasuk, I'll call Zera Zirua Ashi Yizora. Ma Zeroim Sh'ein Soifin L'tamet Tumah Chamura. Regular food is not going to come to a Tumah Chamura. That's where the Torah HaKadosh says, Tzrichin Hechsher, Hechsher if required. Af Kol Sh'ein Soifin L'tamet Tumah Chamura. The halacha that in order for it to be susceptible to tumah, it has to be kind of a situation that will not come to a high level tumah. That's where the Torah HaKadosh says tzricha hechsher. Hechsher is required. Yotz nevel soif tar. But when we speak about the nevel soif tar that we said in yesterday's shir, we said in today's shir, is subject to a very high level tumah. What's the very high level tumah? Do whoever has that nevel soif tar in his base habliya becomes tamei, and even the clothing that he wear become tamei. So that isn't similar to regular food, and since it's not similar to regular food, yotz nevelos oif tamei shesoif latamet tumah chamura, and therefore ain't tzarech hechsher. So the Rabbanan's argument that since it needs hechsher mayim, it should also need machshava, collapses. It doesn't need hechsher mayim, as the Brisa teaches us. Says Rava, so we're back to where we started. We're back to where we started with the question, what is pshat and what the Rabbanan said? Ela Amar Rava, Ela Amar Rava, Umayder Vitem Rapapa, Shum Tumachamur Ba'olam, Shum Tumachal Ba'olam. We're not speaking about any specific rule, and the Gemara is going to prove that that's the way to understand all of the Mishnayos that we're about to learn. What the Gemara means to say here is very different, says Rapapa. We have Tumas Eichlin, we have Tumas Nevela. Let's forget about everything we've learned today. If I asked anybody which is a more serious Tumah, Tumas Nevela or Tumas Eichlin, so everybody would be able to immediately respond Tumas Nevela is a much more serious level Tumah, category of Tumah than the Tumas Eichlin. And that's what the Rabbanan is saying. Yes, you could find that they have the rules, they don't have the rules. But Tumas Nevela is a much more serious Tumah. And therefore the Rabbanan say to Rabbi Yochanan very simply, Tumas Nevela, which is a very serious Tumah, therefore doesn't need a Machshavas Eichlin. You don't have to have intention to eat it that it should become Tameh. Tumas Eichlin, which is a lower level Tumah, in order for it to have Tumah, you have to have Machshavas Eichlin. Very simple argument. We go back to Gemara that we learned yesterday. In the previous year we learned the following. The Gemara taught us, Rabbi Yochanan taught us, that if somebody planted ulshin, as we said, ulshin means either chicory, endives, with the intention to make it a machal adam, and then he changed his mind to make it a machal, to make it, for it to be a machal behema, and since he intended it to be a machal behema, it's not subject to Tumas Eichlin, because it's not an Eichel, and then he changed his mind that he wants to use it for eating. So the Gemara said that if he made that decision while it's still connected to the ground, doesn't mean anything. Why? So we explained, because since when something is still connected to the ground, it's not subject to tumah. So therefore, it can't be connected. It's not subject to tumah. Therefore, a machshava at that time that affects hilchas tumah is a meaningless machshava. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Umay de Rav Yochanan Linya Meiser, the machshavas chibur shema machshava, which means the obligation to take off trumas and maisers from produce is, again, only for food that you want to eat. So let's say you have these ulshin that were planted with the intention for to be animal food, and then you change your mind. even though now they're still connected to the ground, the machshava will make it into to be considered food that has a chiv of trumas and maisers. So one question that all the mefarshim ask is, what's the difference if you have the machshava while it's connected, or you have a machshava after you cut it off? You're not mechuyav to take trumas and maisers until you cut it anyway. So what's the difference when you have the machshava? That he's telling us a chiddush, that even if you had the machshava while it's connected to the ground, that machshava is meaningful. And if you'll have it afterwards, it wouldn't make a difference. You don't take trumas and maisers until they're detached from the ground anyway. So some mefarshim explain that there is a nafkamina. Because the halacha is that if it's animal food, you could let your animal walk into the field and eat it. If it's determined to be food for humans, that have a chiva trumas and maisers, you can't let your animal walk into that field and eat that food, because you have to wait till you take off trumas and maisers, even though now it's before the zman. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw from Chaim Kanievsky is a very big chiddush. There's a concept which we find in Hilchas Trumas and Maisers, in other areas as well, of something that's godel b'ptor, something that's grown in an exempt status. So he says, let's say you would have these ulshim that we're talking about, that were connected to the ground during their entire period of growth, and they were intended to be used for animal food. So if that were the case through their entire growth, when you cut it off, and now you decide to use it for human consumption, but it was already godel b'ptor, and that can't change. Only because your machshava, while it was connected, is considered a valid machshava, is it not considered godel b'ptor, and therefore will be chayiv on trumas and maisers after you detach it from the ground. So now we have to answer another question. So our Gemara, as we're going to learn, distinguishes between the halacha of maisris and the halacha of tumas oichlin. That the Gemara in the previous year said that regarding tumas oichlin, it's a machshava while it's connected to the ground is not a machshava, whereas our Gemara is saying that a machshava while it's connected to the ground regarding tumas and maisris is considered a valid machshava. Why? Why is there a difference? So some explain, very simply, there we're talking about tumma, to make it susceptible to tumma. We don't want to increase tumma in the world, so we push off the susceptibility to tumma. Here we're not increasing tumma in the world, we're increasing trumas and maisers. Along the same lines, what are we accomplishing with this machshava? What we're accomplishing with the machshava of our Gemara is that there'll be a chiv to take off trumas and maisers, which is exactly what we want to accomplish in life. There should be more chiv mitzvah. In that Gemara, there's no chiv mitzvah accomplished. Those are simpler explanations. The Rasameach says a more lomdish pshat. The Rasameach says as follows. We keep on saying in our shiurim that something that's connected to the ground is not subject to trumas and maisris, and something connected to the ground is not subject to tumah. But he says the difference is very significant. Something that's connected to the ground is not subject to tumah because it has no shaykhis, it has no connection to the parish of tumah. Anything connected to the ground cannot become tumah. Connected to the ground and tumah, so to speak, are polar opposites. And therefore, while something's connected to the ground, it can't become subject to tumah. Something connected to the ground is not opposite from chiv maiser. There's a practical issue. You can't take maiser until it's disconnected from the ground. But that doesn't mean that it's not mechuyev maiser. Therefore, a machshavas maiser could be chal, and a machshavas tuma cannot be chal. So again, Amar Rava, Amayder Rav Yochanan Yemaisa, the machshavas chiv b'shma machshava. Amar Rava Menon Minala. From where do I take this? The Tanan. The Mishnah says the Masech the Maisers. You have these different herbs that are growing in your chatzar. Why is the Mishnah speaking about a chatzar? So one shot is because we're going to see that it grew by itself. In the garden, things don't grow by themselves. In the garden, you have to plant them. That's what people do. Chatzar, things grow by themselves. Another shot is that he knew about it, as we're going to see, he wanted it. And again, something that's in your chutzah, it's in your front yard, your backyard, you see all the time. It's in the garden, you might not have seen it. If they're properly protected, says the Mishnah Masech the Maisris, the Chayovim, the Chayiv, and Trumas and Maisris. Ask the Gemara, Hechi Domi, what does that Mishnah come to teach us? Ilema, If we're going to say that that Mishnah is speaking about a situation, the Zrina Metchilal Adam, where you planted it for human consumption. So, of course, why should it not be Chayim in Trumas HaMaisos? Tzrich L'meima. El Lav, it seems that the Mishnah there is coming to teach us a situation that we're speaking about. The Zrina Metchilal Behema, you originally planted it for animal consumption, then you changed your mind and want it to be used for human consumption, and says the Mishnah, Mahayu Nishmarim Chayavim. So we see that a machshava for Meiser, while it's still connected to the ground, is a machshava. Rav Ashi, says Rav Ashi, that isn't necessarily what that Mishnah means to speak about. Hach b'chotzesh olam aleim uskinim. We speak about growths that came by themselves. V'stam al adam kaimi. And therefore, anything that's in your chotzer, you probably want it, because if you didn't want it, you see it all the time, and you would just discard it. V'ach kamer. And therefore, the Mishnah is teaching us a simple din. Im chatzer mishtemeris, if the chatzer is properly protected and you want it, because otherwise you would have ripped it out, then the perasa chayovim imlav ptur. Maser Ravashi. It's very interesting. All the Rishonim make an observation. The Gemara is saying that Rav Ashi asked a question to Rava. If we look in the Gemara, in Masech the Kedushin daf Ayin Beis, the Gemara Masech Kedushin daf Ayin Beis says that Rav Ashi was only born Mishemes Rava Noilad Rav Ashi. So how could Rav Ashi speak to Rava if he only was born after Rava died? So I saw a number of answers to that question. The Rambam has a whole different gears in that Gemara. The Rambam's gears in that Gemara is not that Rav Ashi was only born after Rava died. Rav Ashi became the Rosh Hashiva after Rava died, but they lived together. So according to the Rambam's Girsa, it's not a problem. Other Mepharshim say that there were two Rav Ashis. This is not the Rav Ashi that we have throughout Shas. Other Mepharshim say, and we've said this for it in other Shurim as well. When Rava learned this Gemara, he was asked this question. He wasn't asked by Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi wasn't even born. Then, in later times, Rava was no longer in the world, they were learning the Gemara again, and Rav Ashi asked this question, and Rav Ashi asked the same question that was posed to Rava when Rava said it, but they didn't know who asked it then, so they gave Rav Ashi credit for asking, but it's not necessarily just the first time that Rava was posed this question. Master Rav Ashi, so asked Rav Ashi to Rava, it says in the Mishnah, Kal Shechayavim B'maisers, whatever has a chi of meiser, so it's considered a food, is metamet tumas eichlim. It's also considered a food as far as tumas eichlim. Ask the Gemara, but if the two Gemaras that we've been learning, yesterday's Gemara and today's Gemara, vim isa, if what we've been learning is correct, ha'ika hani demchayavim b'maiser v'metamet tumas eichlim. What have we been learning? We've been learning that if you have olshin that were planted for animal food, and then you change your mind while they're still connected to the ground, they won't be subject to Tumas Eichlin, yesterday's shear, but they will be subject to Hilchas Meiser. So the Mishnah over there says that they travel together. Here we see they don't travel together. They're subject to Tumas Eichlin when you change your mind, but they're not subject. They're subject to Meiser when you change your mind, but not to Tumas Eichlin. So how would we understand this Mishnah that we learned with this din that Rava is saying? Amarava says, Rava, you misunderstand what the Mishnah means to say. And it's very much consistent with what we said a few lines ago. Hachikomer. It doesn't mean every situation. We're not talking about every case. Komin shechai v'mais metam tomas eichlin. All foods that have a chi mais also have a din of tomas eichlin. You may find situations that are exception to the rule. But if it's a food, the Mishnah says it's a food for mice, it's a food for eichlin. Hachanam mistabra. And says the Gemara, it makes sense to say that that's the way to understand the Mishnayis in our Perek. Because Midat Tani Sefer, we're going to learn later in our Shir, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, another Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol Shechai Bereshis Agaz, any animal that is a chiv to cut off the wool and give the Kayin the wool as one of the Matas Kuna, Chai B'Matanis. You also have to give this royal Chaim B'Keva. Continues the Mishnah, V'yesh Chai B'Matanis, V'yesh Chai Bereshis Agaz. But there are animals that you have to give Zerai L'chaim L'keva, and you don't have to give Reshus Gez. And we'll explain what that means in Amud Beis. Ask the Gemara, V'misa, Hikat Treifa. How can we say that the first line of that Mishnah is correct when you have an animal which is a treifa, that the halacha is, chayev es bereshis hageiz, there is an obligation to take off and give the kohen the wool, v'ein chayev matanis. What must be the answer? Yes, you'll find exceptions. But we're talking as a general rule, any animal that has a chiv of reshis hageiz, has a chiv matanis. So isn't it right that that's the way to understand the mishnayos in this parak? That we're not speaking about specific situations, we're talking about generalities. So tomorrow your question is not a question. How many? Because we could say that the Mishnah in Beis represents the opinion of Reb Shimon, that then Reb Shimon poitis a tray from reshis hageiz. He says if it's part from reshis hageiz, it's indeed part from matanis, and therefore your raya is not a raya. Amr of Simi Barashi says Rav Simi Barashi, Toshma, the Tanan. There's a Mishnah that teaches us a machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbonim. If you have a field, and in the field you planted patches of different spices, do you have to, different growths, do you take payah for every patch separately, or one payah for everything? Says the Gemara, Hamafkas Karma, that's the next Gemara. Toshma, first this Gemara. Hamafkas Karma, if somebody is Mafka his Karim, the Hishkim Abaikar, and he wakes up in the morning, or Batsroi. So even though we've been learning that if something is Hefker, it's part of from Matnas Aniyim, it's part of from Trumas and Maisris, if you were Mafka, you feel, and then in the morning you reclaimed it, and the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is when we say you reclaimed it, doesn't mean you reclaim the fruit. It means reclaim the property, A. And B, it means that you reclaimed it for yourself, not on behalf of someone else. Even though it was originally Hefker, Chai B'Pera B'Oil B'Shechopeya. Even though these Matnas Aniyim are potter by Hefker, this is not considered Hefker. Or potter ben a Meiser. But as far as Hilchus Meiser is concerned, you'll be potter. The Rishonim and Achronim debate, will you always be potter for Meiser? Let's say you reclaimed it before it was a third grown. Will you be potter? Or, a more relevant question, let's say you did this only to absolve yourself from the Chiv Meiser. Would that be considered a valid Hefker? But as a general rule, you're potter for Meiser. So what do we see here? That you Chayiv and Peya, and you're potter for Meiser. But this is not consistent with the mission that we just learned. For Nantanan, Kosh Chayiv and Peya, Chayiv and Meisers. So how do we reconcile the Mishnah that says if there's a Chiyah Peyah, there's a Chiyah Meiser, they always travel together, where we just constructed a situation where you're Chayiv and Peyah, part from Meiser, where you were Mafka and then took and reclaimed it. Elav Shmamina. How must we understand the Mishnah? Yes, you found a case where you're Chayiv and Peyah, part from Meiser. But that isn't what the Mishnah means to say. We're speaking about as a general rule, a food that's Chayiv and Peyah is Chayiv and Meiser. Min Ketani. Shmamina, that's the way to understand the Mishnah is of this parak. Interesting tshuva from the Shalos Tshuvos B'Tzel HaChachma. He says, there's a din, one of the last mitzvahs in the Torah, V'ato kisul lachem es l'shir ezos, that every Jew has to write a Sefer Torah. So let's say Baruch Hashem, a Yid is Mekayim da mitzvah, he writes a Sefer Torah. But for whatever reason, he has to sell the Sefer Torah. He became impoverished, he has to sell the Sefer Torah. But Baruch Hashem, God is good, and he, Baruch Hashem, is able to buy back the Sefer Torah. So while he sold the Sefer Torah, he wasn't being Mekayim the Mitzvah. But it's now buying back that very Sefer Torah. Is he Mekayim the Mitzvah? He says, from here it's right, that if you mafker and you reclaim it, it's considered yours. Tanan Hossam. This is what I meant a moment ago. Ma'adacham Rabbi Kiva, b'zoyru sheves ochardel, sheves is dill, or mustard, b'shnayim ishlosh koymos, shenoysein pei mikolech vech. That, as I said, even though when we have patches of a growth, the Rabbanon hold you have to take from one for all. Rav Kiva says you take from each one separately. By dill or by mustard, the Chum agree that you have to take from each patch its own payah. Let's think about this. Ask the Gemara. For Sheves, when we speak Sheves, the Mechayiv, the payah, it was saying that dill is chayiv peyah, and must also be chayiv and meisah. As we're saying, peyah and meisah, the Mishnah said travel together. The Tanan, as our Mishnah just taught us, kosh chayiv peyah, chayiv and meisah. Or mid chayiv and meisah, if it also is chayiv and meisah, not tamet to masaychlin. Because if it's a food, that it should be chayiv and peyah, and it should be chayiv and meisah, it must be a food also as far as to masaychlin is concerned. Alma. But let's think about dill, says the Gemara. What is dill? Dill is a spice. Isn't this a raya, says the Gemara. Alma called me to the ovlatama, that even though something is just here as a spice, it's matama tumas eichlam. It's still subject to tumas eichlam. The high sheves, because when we think about sheves, it's only dill, it's latama avida, and yet it's considered subject to tumas eichlam. Ask the Gemara v'reminu, but there's a Mishnah Masechta Oiksin that says, Hakosht, we know kosht is one of the spices that was used in the Ktiris, say every day. Vachimum, Virashi Bsomim, Vatiya, Vachiltus, Chiltus was a very sharp tasting spice. Vapelpulin, Vachelas, Areya, Nichim, Bekesamaisa. You could buy with them with Kesamaisa, which means as follows. We know that during the first and second and fourth and fifth years of the cycle, you give Maisa Sheni. But the Torah Gdoshah says that and what are you supposed to do with Maisa Sheni? What you're supposed to do with Maisa Sheni is take it up to Yerushalayim and consume it in Yerushalayim. But if it's difficult to take it up, you could redeem it and take the money to Yerushalayim and use that money to buy food with it. So it says here that these spices are, you could use that money to buy Maisa Sheni, but use that money, the Kesem Maisa, to buy these spices. So they're obviously considered food. Vein, v'tamen tumas oichlen. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri immediately asks Rabbi Akiva, I don't understand what you're saying. Im nechem b'kesem Maisa, if you could buy with Kesem Maisa these items, they're obviously considered food. If they're obviously considered food, so why they're not subject to tumas oichlen? If, on the other hand, you hold that ainim etamas oichlen, because they're obviously only spices and they're not food, afhem lo yilakhu b'kesamaisa, so then you shouldn't be allowed to use kesamaisa to purchase them. Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Vam Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Nimru v'gamru, there was a decision made, shein nechem b'kesamaisa, vein metam tumas oichlen. Indeed, they're not subject to tumas oichlen, and you can't use kesamaisa to buy it. Why? Because they're a spice, not a food. So we have a stira. From the Gemara, first seems to say, the chayiv and peyer, the chayiv and meiser, the subject to tumas oichlem. So obviously dill is a food. And there it seems to say that dill is not a food. How can we reconcile these two mishnayos? Answers the Gemara, Amrav Chizda, Kitanya hi b'shavas asui l'kemach. There are two types of uses that you could use dill for. You could use dill for a spice, and you could use dill for kutach. Kutach, we have throughout Shas, was a dip, with dill being the primary ingredient. When it's used for a dip, for kutach, then it's a food. Amar v'ashi, amrit l'shmatza kamed rav kahana. I said over this entire discussion to rav kahana. Loi teim v'b'shevis hasui l'kemach. And he said to me, don't say that it has to be a situation where you specifically designated your dill for the kutach. Hostamo, which would mean, if you didn't make that special designation, then it should be used l'ktera, it should be used just for spice. Rather, he says, I'll bring you a raya, says Rav Kahana, stam sheves asui l'kemach. What is the tip, what without special designation do we consider dill? We consider it a food. What's the raya? The Tanan, the Mishnah says, also mesechta uksin, hasheves mishanos natam b'gdera. If you put sheves, if you put dill into the pot, ein b'mishum truma, vein matam tumas oichlen. It is no longer subject to truma. That means if you take a stalk of dill, put it into the pot, and all of the flavor has been extracted, and it's a truma stalk, and then it falls into another pot, you don't have a problem of truma falling into your pot. Ein b'mishum truma, vein matam tumas oichlen. Which means that if the flavor is still in it, yesh b'mishum truma, it is chayiv and truma, and is metamet to mesoichlem. But now your question, now says Rav Kahana, that the standard of dill without special designation is considered a spice, so it's a spice, and it should be mechuyiv and truma semaisris. So why are we making a difference if this flavor came out, the flavor didn't come out? It's anyway, nachayv and shumas and maisers. What must that Mishnah be teaching us? Stam l'kemach asuya. When you have dill, without any special designation, we consider it a food, and it's mechuyev and truma, and that Mishnah comes to teach us a new din, that if the flavor has departed from it, it's not considered a food anymore, and therefore it wouldn't cause you a problem, even if it's a truma food. Shema mina. So we quoted this Mishnah Naman Aleph. Kosh chai b'reishis ageis. Any animal is chai b'reishis ageis, to give the wool to the kohen, chai b'matanis. However, v'yesh chai b'matanis, v'en chai b'reishis ageis. There are animals that have a chai b'matanis, don't have a chai b'reishis ageis. What is that? An animal that's not a sheep. Because this Mishnah holds that only animals that have wool, that wool was one of the materials used for the big day kahuna, have a chiv of reshus ageis. So if you'll have an axe, or you'll have a sheep, it won't have a chiv of reshus ageis, but will have a chiv matnas kunas roi l'chaim v'keva. The halacha is that every 7 year is Shemitah year, and there's also another halacha, a birch Shemitah. That means as soon, you could take fruit, produce that grows in the Shemitah year, you could eat. But there's a din that as soon as that produce is no longer available in the field, kol lechayim and asada, if it's no longer available in the field, you have to dispose of it. So says the Mishnah, kosh yesh lebir, any food that's subject to the halacha bir shmita, certainly is subject to hilchas shmita, yesh leshvius. However, says the Mishnah, v'yesh yesh leshvius, there are foods that have the din of shmita, then lebir. Kegoin, says the Gemara, what would be an example of that? Ola haluf, shaita v'andua. These different growths, shiyesh lo shviyas, v'ein lo bia. They have a din of shmita, but the din of bia shmita doesn't apply to them. Ikra haluf shaita, v'ikra handunda. These things don't have a din of bia. Why? Diksiv. Because what is the basis for the halacha bia shmita, says the Gemara? Because it says in the Torah, so we learn, as we just quoted, from there the halacha, the kalzman shechayah chelos min asada, as long as the food is available to the animals, you could keep it at home. Kalal chayah min asada, kalal behemtecha shebebayis. Vahani, these foods, loy kalalhu, never disappear. So that's why there's no din of bia shmitah, even though they are subject to hilchas shmitah. There's a machlokes rishonim. Foods, most produce, is subject to bia shmitah. What do you do? The Rambam learns that once it comes to that point, you could take off a little amount for every person and your family, and the rest you have to dispose of. The Ravid has a much more complicated approach. The Ravid seems to say that there are different periods. At the beginning, you could take it out and then bring it in. Later on, you can't. Which really comes back to a much more fundamental question. Let's say you took it out and you were mafker it, could you reclaim ownership? Says the Mishnah, kosh yesh lois kaskeses yesh lois shnapir. We know that the Targum Deutsche says that the simonim of a kosher fish are scales and fins. Says the Mishnah, anything that has scales has fins. V'yesh yesh lois snapir v'en lois kaskeses. But there are fish that have fins and don't have scales. Kosh yesh lo karnayim yesh lo tulfayim. Any animal that has horns has split hooves. Yesh yesh lo tulfayim, but there are animals that have a split hooves, they don't have karnayim. What a chazer. It has split hooves, but it doesn't have karnayim. And the way most Rishonim explained what the Mishnah is teaching us here is that the Mishnah is teaching us regarding kashrus. Because in order to be kosher, it has to have horns. And a pig has split hooves and it doesn't have horns, and that's why it's not kosher. The Rambam disagrees in the Pirush of Mishnayis, because the Rambam says karnayim are not the simonim of a kosher animal. The simonim of a kosher animal are split hooves and chewing the cud, malagera. Therefore, he says what the Mishnah means to distinguish is between what is considered a behema and what is considered chaya, because there are halachas, different halachas. A chaya has to have kisui adam, a behema doesn't have to have kisui adam, a chaya, the chaylev is also the raisa, by behemoth it isn't. Begins the Gemara. Kosh yesh lo kaskeses, daktar. Every fish that has scales will automatically be kosher, because if it has scales, it must have fins, and therefore it's kosher. Yesh yesh lo snapper, but there are fish that have fins, vein lo kaskeses. but don't have scales. And that would be a dak tamei. So ask the Gemara the obvious question. As soon as it has scales, it's a kosher fish. So michti, anana kaskesas simchinen. We rely on the scales. So ask the Gemara, snap the kos rechmana lamali. So why did the Torah have to speak about scales altogether? Answer, about the fins altogether. If all that counts is the scales. Answer the Gemara. Ila kos rechmana snapper. Had the Torah not said snapper, havamina, we could come to make the mistake. The my kaskesas. What's the definition of the word kaskesas? My kaskesas, the ksiv, snapper. We would get mixed up and we would say that kaskesas means fins. And we would come to believe that all you need is fins and not scales to be kosher. And that would end up maybe causing us to eat a filadak tame, kas rachmana, snapper vas kaskesas, that we should know it has to have fins and scales. Ask the Gemara, so now we're saying that kaskesas means the scales, and snapper means the fins, and there's no room for mix-up because the Torah mentions both. So says the Gemara, if that's the way you're learning, find the Torah wrote both words. But who tells you to define kaskesas as the scales and snapper as the fin? Maybe the other way. How do we know we should define kaskesas as the scale? Answers the Gemara, the Ksiv, because the Pasuk says regarding Goyas, the Syrian kaskasin hulavish. And the armor was made out of rows of metal, like the scale. Says the Gemara, so now we know kaskasin means scales. So we're back to our original question. And like Tosfos points out, even though this is a Pasuk and Navi, obviously they knew that that's the definition of kaskasis. So we're back to where we started. V'lichta rachmana kaskasis v'loi boi snapper. Answers the Gemara, Amar Avuo, Kentan, Rav Shmuel. You're right. If a fish has scales, it automatically has fins. That's the right, that's all you need. So why did the Torah say the fins? Yagdol Torah V'yadir. So there's much to say on this Yagdol Torah V'yadir. What does the Gemara mean? The simple pshat, albeit not so simple, is Yagdol Torah V'yadir, the Torah didn't have to say, but the Torah added. Which is a very difficult pshat, because I would probably say the most fundamental principle of learning is that every word, every letter is absolutely essential. And they were saying the Torah added some extra words. So the Mefarshim answer, this is a proof that the Torah is min Hashemayim, that the Torah is from God, and that God created the world. Why? The Kozel Gavarov and the Eretz Tzvi explains this. Who besides Hashem could tell us hundreds and thousands of years before, at the beginning of the creation, at the Torah, that you'll never find a fish that has scales that doesn't have fins? Only the God that created the world. And that's why L'Hagdol Torah L'Adira, it shows us the greatness of the Torah. So there's two things that I want to add to that vart. One is that why specifically by Mechalos Asuris does the Torah choose to teach us the emes of Torah? The Torah wants to teach us the truth of Torah, Torah Menashmai, but why by Mechalos Asuris? The Farshim explained that somebody who Rechman Slan eats Macholos Asurus cannot succeed in learning. The Matamtim Delef. Somebody whoever is careful with Macholos Asurus, is careful not to eat something not kosher, he is a person that is able to succeed in learning. So where is it most appropriate to teach us the concept of L'Hagdol Torah La'adira? By Macholos Asurus. But there's a very interesting question that the Tosfos Yontif discusses. He says, when he was a Rav in Vienna, somebody approached him and showed him that there is a fish. It's, I don't know exactly even how to pronounce it. It's called the Marinus stinkus. That's how I think it's pronounced. That has scales and doesn't have fins. Al-Gemara says it's impossible. Moreover, this person told him it's actually a poisonous fish. So he answered. So many Mefarshim grapple with this question. Some say that the legs of this fish are considered the fins. Others say that it's a breed. It's not an independent fish. It's really a crossbreed. And others say that it's not, that this thing that the Gemara speaks about is regarding a fish. That isn't a fish. It's a sea creature. It's a whole different halakha concept. Another pshat. What does the Gemara want to say? L'Hagdol Torah L'Adira. It speaks about an issue that we've spoken in our shiurim. We've spoken in our shiurim, what does it mean when you speak about a simen, the simonim of a kosher fish, of a kosher animal? Are they a simen or are they a siba? If we say it's a simen, so it's enough that the Torah should tell us that the scales, that a fish that has scales, are kosher, and you'll know that it's kosher. If, however, it's not that the simonim are what just a proof that it's kosher. It's what makes it kosher. So the Torah tells us, you know what makes a kosher fish kosher? The scales and the fins. Yes, you'll know it's kosher without the fins. But what makes the fish kosher? The Torah wants to tell us the scales and the fins make it kosher. It's relevant lahaloch lemaisa. There's a very big shaila that the Pais can discuss. Do you have to examine a fish before you eat it? Vivdavtem. Do you have to look at the fish before you eat it? So, the Zer Avram wants to say that if the signs are only a simen, then as long as you know the fish is kosher, you don't have to do anything more. If, however, the signs are what make the fish kosher, so then you have to look for them to see that they're indeed kosher. But I saw one more beautiful pshat in Lahagdil Torah La'adira. What do the scales accomplish on a fish, and what do the fins do? The scales are what protect the fish. And the fins are what propel the fish. Says the Gemara, if you want to learn what should be our attitude to learning, to Torah, it should be the same like Torah. It should be like the fish. You have a one-hand concept, lahagdol Torah, to protect the Torah, like the scales protect us. We have to follow the words of Torah. But it's not enough just to say, okay, I know the basic halacha, I know what a Jew is supposed to do, and that's good enough. No, you have to go further. You have to go further in your learning also. You can't just say, okay, I learned through Shas, I don't have to learn it again. No, lahadira. You have to learn again, you have to be mechadish kedusha taira. Just like the fish have the scales that protect them, but also have the fins that propel them further. We always have to go further in learning taira.